The following is a paid presentation. The views and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WIFE or Whitewater Broadcasting. It's time for To Your Health, brought to you by Rush Memorial Hospital. A weekly visit with the healthcare professionals at Rush Memorial to introduce you to the employees and the various programs at the hospital. And now, your host, Mary Frances Friedel.
Good morning. We're here today with Dr. Jeffrey Genther, who is an orthopedic surgeon at Rush Memorial Hospital. Dr. Genther's specialty is hip and knee replacements. And this morning, he's here to talk to us about hip replacements. Good morning, Dr. Genther.
Good morning. First of all, if it's all right, Mary Frances, I'd like to talk a little about my background. I'm a Hoosier. I went into the Army and went to West Point when I was 17 and served there. And the Army put me through medical school and residency. And residency in orthopedics is a five-year program after medical school. And then after that, I worked in sports medicine for a while and just taking care of the soldiers. And then I found that my passion really was in joint replacement. So I did a fellowship in joint replacement, which means I spent an extra year just studying that. And I did that over with Dr. Merrill Ritter over in Mooresville. That was an exciting year. And then I taught hip and knee replacement in the military before retiring from the military and moving back to Indiana, where my home was and where my folks were, and started practice in Indianapolis. And then a year ago about decided that I was going to change how I was doing things, and we came up with a solution in Rushville in order to bring a hip and knee replacement program down here. And so that's what I'm working on now.
Well, we're certainly glad to have you. And this is a very new thing to us, but it is not new at all to you.
No, I've done about 8,000 knee and hip replacements, which is a large amount. That's really what I like to do. I really enjoy the process of people that are hurting, having a hard time walking and being independent, and then returning to a good lifestyle that they can be as active as they want to be.
Well, I can see where that would be very rewarding for you, and it's certainly rewarding for your patients.
It's a lot of fun. It's exciting to see changes in people's lives and people that thought that there was really not a lot of hope for themselves and that they were getting more and more difficult for them to be independent, more and more difficult for them to walk, and then all of a sudden they're walking better than ever. And so it's a fun process, and it the technology we have today is so exciting compared to years ago.
You do hip and knee replacements, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. So are hip replacements needed as frequently as knee replacements?
Nationally, we're up to 1 million now hip and knee replacements a year, but it's probably around two-thirds to one-third. They're about two-thirds knee replacements and one-third hip replacements. So around 400,000 knee replacements now, or hip replacements in our country now, and just over 600,000 knee replacements. So it's about a two-for-one ratio.
How does someone know that they need a hip replacement?
Usually the pain that you're having is in your groin. That's the closest way to get into the hip joint is through the groin as far as thickness of your tissue. So the pain is anterior on you, and then you lose your motion. You have an inability to spin your hip, and oftentimes then people then have difficulty putting on their shoes and socks and doing certain activities just because they can't freely move their hip as well as somebody that doesn't have arthritis.
So it's kind of a combination of pain and then also pain problems with your movement.
Pain and motion and function.
So when somebody does get their hip replaced, you said it makes a big difference, but how long does it take to get to that difference? Is this a long recovery? Is it fairly quick?
The hip recovery is quicker than the knee recovery. There's some magic. We put prostheses in where the bone grows into the prostheses. So the attachment is because there's a textured surface in the implant that the bone then grows into, and that magic moment occurs about 6 weeks. And so right after surgery, even a week after, you're a lot more comfortable, and then you get gradually stronger and more functional. But then again, at about 6 weeks is when the pain completely starts to go away.
Well, you know, I've had friends who've had knee replacements. I actually don't know anyone who's had a hip replacement, but they've said knee replacements are very painful. Are hip replacements painful as well?
The knee replacement is one of the most painful surgeries we have. And we do a lot to make that not hurt so much. The hip replacement doesn't hurt nearly as much as the knee, and the recovery is different because the hip is a simple joint. It's a ball and socket. And so when you replace it with a ball and socket, which we do with a hip replacement, then the hip feels much like your native hip. And that's the goal with that. And many, many people will tell you, oh, it feels just like my hip did years ago. And whereas the knee is a different joint. It's the motion of that's very complex, and we're not really able to reproduce that natural motion. So people almost always feel a little bit different with their knee replacement. It doesn't quite feel like their native knee, whereas the hip usually feels like their hip.
And is this why hip replacements aren't needed as frequently? Because the hip it is relatively simple in comparison with the knee?
Well, I mean, that's multifactorial. The hip doesn't really wear out just from arthritis usually. It's usually a matter of it's not the shape of the hip or the depth of the socket is different. Or you tear some cartilage around the hip, you can do that. But we don't tear that cartilage nearly as much as what we tear the cartilage in our knee. So it's a different way if we get osteoarthritis. And the knee wears out gradually. The hip is wears out, but oftentimes it's a factor of how you were born and how the hip socket formed around the hip, and people put more pressure over a small area with the hip, and that then causes that focal wearing out.
When you were on before, you spoke with us about the cryoneurolysis for the helping with pain for the knee replacement surgery. Do you have something similar, or how do you deal with pain with the hip replacement?
Well, we work real hard on a multimodal pain approach. And the biggest thing we do to help out is we have a drug called Exparel. It's a liposome that encapsulate numbing medicine. Now, a liposome is like a cell membrane with all the material inside the cell gone. So you just keep the membrane of the cell, and then with that membrane, you can tweak that a little bit so the numbing medicine that you have in the hip elutes slowly into the hip. So it gives you 48 to 72 hours of decreased pain. And then we also do a spinal up front. And the reason we do that is it lowers the blood pressure. You lose less blood. But also when you wake up, you don't wake up to severe pain. And so we can gradually get control of the pain, and it's not nearly as great because of that injection. And then we do some other things with anti-inflammatories, with some pills that affect nerve pain and some pills that affect inflammation. So we really have gotten much better at making it a very manageable surgery that doesn't really bother people that much.
That sounds great. It sounds like the pain management is as sophisticated as the surgery itself.
Well, it very much is, and the anesthesiologists and the OR staff become a team in order that we can best manage that discomfort to make it an experience that's not so tough on you.
Well, now, after the surgery is done, do people have to have, like, rehabilitation therapy after this?
We do rehab, but it's real variable now on how much you need. What's happened to hip replacement here in the last several years is we've come up with this direct anterior approach to the hip where we don't cut any muscle. And so if you don't cut any muscle, you don't have the problems with rehab that you do when you cut muscle. And so for years, I would do the posterior approach, and 4.5% of the time they would dislocate. And then I would do the lateral approach, and they didn't dislocate, but you cut a lot of muscle, so it hurt more, and people would end up limping more. Around 2010, there was a new approach to the hip that was developed. And we started doing that because a guy named Dr. Mata came back from Europe, and he had designed a table that we use in order to make this procedure more reproducible and easier. So in my life, I'd gone back and forth from a posterior approach, and that means you go back into the buttocks area from the back, to a lateral approach, which means you go from the side. And so the buttocks approach from the back, or the posterior approach, people dislocate. And then that was a problem that was hard for the patient, hard for the physician, very painful if you dislocate your hip. And no matter how good a surgeon you were, 4.5% of the time, if you had a certain type of hip, a certain size of hip, you would dislocate. And then the lateral or the side approach, you have to cut a lot more muscle. So that would make rehab harder and slower, and people would often long-term end up with a limp. And this new approach from the front, which is going in the hip, you don't cut any muscle. You don't you don't touch the sling of muscles behind the hip that hold the hip in socket. So the dislocation rate is almost non-existent, and then people don't have the limp with it. In fact, if you had the limp before surgery, usually you get rid of the limp right away because the muscles respond to the new hip that doesn't hurt.
Well, that sounds great. I guess if you talk to someone about how their hip replacement went, you need to be sure that you're talking to somebody who's had one since 2010.
And initially, it was just a very few people. I was on a faculty with a company that we would go around and do teaching seminars to teach surgeons how to do that particular hip. And now it's becoming more frequently, and I would say about a third of the hips in the country are going in from the direct anterior approach. But initially in 2010, it was like when I started doing this, it was less than 1% were going in that way. And then you might ask, why would not everyone get that? It sounds good. You don't cut any muscle and you rehab faster and it doesn't hurt as much. And the reason it's a harder procedure to master as a surgeon, and people aren't trained in that when they're in their residency, when they're younger. And so a surgeon has to commit that time and effort in order to master that procedure. I'm about 1,000 of them now of that. So
I think you've got the mastery down pat. Yes.
Yeah. So when people will come, there are more people that come for that anterior approach because they hear about it and it's in the on the news and so the marketplace has demanded that people have an opportunity to get that procedure.
Well, yeah, that makes sense. Now, you mentioned something about a special table that was developed for this surgery. So do you have that at Rush Memorial?
Rush Memorial has been very progressive in getting ready for this. They've bought this table. It's a big investment for the hospital, but they've made some huge investments just generally for the joint replacement program. And most of that is for the patient, but part of it is so the patient doesn't get an infection. And we have a machine called a TruD that is an ultraviolet machine that kills bacteria in the rooms, both in the operating rooms and your hospital bedroom. And that is a big innovation because it lowers the infection rate. And then also we're putting in a new ventilation system, an air exchange system, so there'll be a lot, the air will be cleaner. And so that's going to come about here in the next couple of weeks, and we're excited about that. People often ask questions, okay, we're in a rural setting, is it safe? And should you have your hip or knee replacement done here? And I tell people that the farther you get from a city, a major city, the less aggressive and less harmful the bacteria are. So it's easier to treat an infection in Rushville than it is downtown Indianapolis. And the bacteria is worse downtown Indianapolis than it is here. So this is actually a good place to have it done and a safe place. And we have the system in place to do that quite effectively.
My final question would be, just now you've made me curious, why would there be less of a problem with bacteria here than there would be in the city?
When it's been shown again and again that when you have clusters of people, then we have a lot more bacteria present, and we have a lot more bacteria that's resistant to antibiotics. And people hear about MRSA in the news, and that's the primarily the one that we have a hard time fighting in major population areas. And so we won't have as much of a problem here at Rushville with that sort of a super bacteria or super bug that we do in major population areas.
I guess less population of people, less population of bacteria. So
yes.
Not something I would ever have thought of. So yes. I've learned something new. Well, thank you so much for coming in today and just discussing this and explaining it. We hope to have you back again.
Very good. It's been my pleasure.
You can listen to past shows of To Your Health. Log on to rushmemorial.com and click on podcasts. Join us again next week for another visit with Rush Memorial Hospital. It's To Your Health, brought to you by Rush Memorial Hospital on Hometown Country 94.3 WIFE. The proceeding was a paid presentation. The views and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WIFE or Whitewater Broadcasting.